You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Tonight, we're going to begin a brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. My subject tonight is bearing spiritual fruit. Bearing spiritual fruit. When you came in, you were given a handout, and this handout lists the 17 works of the flesh, which are all manifestations of man's lower nature, and they're found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And then also on that handout is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you'll notice, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit on your handout. There are 17 works of the flesh. Gossip is not on there. Certainly that's a work of the flesh. So these are the 17 works of the flesh that are found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. What I want you to see, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit, twice as many works of the flesh. And if you look on the back of that handout, I've given you a definition of the works of the flesh. Wouldn't do you a whole lot of good to study subject matter if you don't know what you're studying. So you know a tree by the fruit it bears. An apple tree bears apples, an orange tree bears oranges, and a banana tree bears bananas, and the tree never gets mixed up with what kind of tree it is, and God never gets mixed up with what kind of seed that we sow. So as Christians, we want to bear the right fruit. Now, in this study, I'm going to, in one lesson, I'm going to look at the 9 gifts of the Spirit which give the character of God. We're going to look at the 9 fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, give the character of God. The gifts show the power of God. I pinned this down just before I came up here and pinned it down wrong. The Beatitudes are the blessings or the rewards of God. There are actually 9 Beatitudes. So then we're going to do a lesson on the fruit of the Spirit versus the lust of the flesh. And so we'll do a lesson on each one of these fruit: love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But I want you to memorize Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's say it together right there on your screen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we need to know, if we're going to bear the right fruit, what type of fruit we're to bear. So you need to memorize and know the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. You need to be aware of what they are. But tonight I want to talk about bearing spiritual fruit. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And Lord, as we develop Christ-like character, we become more and more like you. So many times we pray for faith when, Lord, what we really need is a knowledge of God. Because the more knowledge we have of you, the more our faith increases. The more knowledge we have of your word, the more our faith increases. So help us, Lord, to develop these fruit in our lives. Help this, Lord, to be an exciting study where we review things, Lord, that we've known for years, but that others need to know these so they can grow in grace and knowledge. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus likens himself to the true vine of eternal life. And his disciples, they are likened unto the living branches of that vine. Without the Spirit of God flowing through us, we cannot produce godly fruit. We must be connected to the true vine if we're going to produce the fruit of Christ. We should never confuse spiritual gifts with being spiritual. A lot of people think that if you have gifts of healing and word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and if you operate in tongues and interpretation, that you're a spiritual person. That does not determine your spirituality. Spiritual gifts are bestowed upon us by God. They are given to us by God. They're given to us to bless the body of Christ. But the spiritual fruit, it must be developed in us as we abide in Christ. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. But Jesus is the source. He's the true vine. We're branches of that. And as we develop our human spirit and we develop these fruit in it, that's when we become more and more Christ-like or more spiritual. If you have a spiritual gift, you didn't do anything to earn that spiritual gift. It was given to you by God. I operate in gifts of healing. I wish I operated in more of those giftings. We know it. We see so many people here, we would have to be ignorant not to recognize. A church could actually operate in gifts. I've never seen it happen, but I believe we could get to that place that people here understood the giftings and the fruit and everything just flowing together. But if you have a gift, it is a gift from God. If you're a preacher, even if you backslide, you can still preach. It is a gift God gave to you. He does not take that away. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, the nine manifestation gifts, they are bestowed by God on us. And you need to live holy, you need to live pure, and you need to develop the fruit of the Spirit if you want to operate in those gifts on a consistent basis. Love, faith works by love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. We'll do an entire lesson on that. But faith worketh by love. That's just that simple. So love is the greatest of all. It's the greatest gift of all. If you start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin to look at the gifts of the Spirit, there's nine manifestation gifts. You get to the last verse, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I you a more excellent way. And then he begins the love chapter. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, he starts paralleling tongues and prophecy, interpretation. So all of these flow together, and even the Beatitudes, they flow together. So this is an exciting series on the fruit, and sometimes we may just go a little further into the giftings. But the fruit must be developed in us as we abide in Christ. Contrary to what many people think, gifts do not make you spiritual, okay? The fruit of the Spirit shows whether or not you're spiritual. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the human spirit as we abide in Christ. It's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit that the Holy Spirit develops in you, in your human spirit, your regenerated nature, the Christ nature in you. That is what you're interested in developing, the fruit of love, joy, and peace. Those first three, they're toward God, the love of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. They're three fruit that you bear toward your fellow man, that if you have these fruit, you're long-suffering with people. I mean long-suffering, gentle, good. Then faith, meekness, and temperance, they're inner qualities. They're qualities that you develop by abiding in the true vine Christ, and those are inner dimensions of your spirit man, where you walk in a dimension with God where you're not moved by anything. None of these things move me. Amen. So the fruit of the Spirit should not be confused with gifts. It should not be confused with works. It should not be confused with talents. We're not known as the disciples of Christ by the words we speak. We're not known by the sermons we preach. We're not known by the gifts we have. We're not known by the claims we make, but we're known by the fruit that we bear. That's just it. The body of Christ has missed a lot of this. They think that it's the gifts. You know, we Pentecostal people, I love the gifts. But I tell you what, at the end of the day, I have to evaluate my life on this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. In other words, you can have all of it you want. Hallelujah. And the struggles that I have in life, they're not with the works of the flesh. They're with the struggle that I have in developing these fruit in my own life. And I look in that mirror, and I have to, at the end of the day, I have to say, have you shown love? Have you been gentle? Have you been kind? Have you been long-suffering with people? Hallelujah. So we want to bear the right kind of fruit. And if we could get the whole church to bear the fruit of the Spirit that's listed here, we could win the world for Jesus. They called them Christians at Antioch the first time they were ever called Christian, because they were Christ-like. They knew what they were supposed to be like. Amen. So in this study, it's an amazing subject, and we're going to let God's word speak to us as we go through here. But we follow the Bible. We love the Bible, and we're thankful that we have the word of God to direct us on this subject matter. So God loves fruit. How many of you like fruit? Amen. God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he wants us to bear much fruit. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus likens himself to the true vine of eternal life, and his disciples are likened as to the living branches of that vine. So let's look at John 15 and 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, or the gardener, or the farmer," some translations would say. Jesus said, "I'm the vine." When I came by the Baptist church down the road here, Missionary Baptist, they have that, John 15 and 1, on their marquee. They had it the other day. I said, "Lord, are you speaking to me?" But Jesus said, "I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener." Now, the Father plants the vine, and the Father waters the vine, okay? Look at verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So if you're not bearing fruit, then you're going to be taken away. "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bear more fruit." So you're either going to get whacked either way. You might get cut off and thrown away if you go back into sin and all those works of the flesh that are listed there. But even if you're walking in the light of God's word, that's going to come a time when God just whacks you. And he does that for a purpose. So we grow to a certain state, and the only way we can grow is to be pruned back. My wife said, "I didn't believe those bushes you cut back were going to come back." They're starting to come out. Now, you don't hire somebody else to cut your bushes normally. Because, I mean, you don't do it yourself. You hire somebody. If I hired somebody to do it, and I pulled a shoulder muscle, I bought me a long pack set of clippers to cut those things back. And they didn't cut them back enough to please me. So I just got out there and whacked them up real good. But normally people will not prune something that's theirs back as much. So you hire somebody to do that, so they'll just really chop them all to pieces. Well, we cut them back real good, and they're coming back. Thank God for that. But Jesus said that every branch that does not bear fruit, he's going to take it away. God's going to take it away. It's going to be cast into the fire. Every branch that bears fruit, he's going to purge it. He's going to cut it back. And he does that so it can grow. Sister Clara, she loves flowers, and she knows all about what I'm talking about, whacking them back, cutting them back, fertilizing them, putting a little more water in there, and sun, letting the sun shine on them. And that's what we need for us to grow and develop spiritually. Look at verse 5. John 15:5. Jesus said, "I am the branch, ye are the branch. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So right here in just those 5 verses, we have seen that as Jesus' disciples, we're to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Why? To glorify God. So it's important that we understand this pruning process, because you think the devil's doing everything. Well, it's not the devil always. Sometimes it's on our own carnality. It's the flesh. See, there are 3 enemies in this world. That's the flesh, that's the devil, and that's the world. Those 3. Your flesh, the devil, and the world. Those are 3 enemies that will try to keep you from walking in the Spirit of God. And you have to know this, because you have to understand the process that you're going through. Sometimes when I'm in a hard place, I say, "Well, God, is this you? Or is it the devil?" If it's the devil, I'm going to work on him right away. If it's God, then I'm going through the process. Because I know what the process is, what prepares me to walk in greater heights, to understand the word with greater knowledge and wisdom. So the process sometimes can be painful. But let's look at this fruit again, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then it says, against such there is no law. So there is no law either in heaven or on this earth or anywhere that is ever been passed that is against us bearing spiritual fruit and living with righteous conduct. That's not a law anywhere. So there's no law that says you cannot do this. God says, I want you to do this. I want you to grow. I want you to become more Christ-like. So there's no law. I like that last part. Against such, there's no law. That baffled me for a long time. But there's no law against it. So you can produce all the fruit that is listed here. And these nine fruit are very important to your walk with God. They're very important to your relationship to those in the body of Christ. And hi, let's bring it on home. They're very important to your relationship with your spouse and with your children. And if you can develop these fruit in your life, it will make you a person with such character, godly character. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect all the time. I mean, none of us have arrived, but that should be a consistency. But there are going to be times that you're just absolutely blindsided. I call it being blindsided by the devil. And, I had one of those instances today that it just aggravated me real good. I'm trying to get something done, and I'm running against all types of walls and people that I consider should be helping me to do my little project. They're like, hey, you got to do this, and this. They put in these roadblocks. And I don't want to mention the city of Wilson in this while I'm saying this. But when I redid this church right here, we tore it apart. But I'm telling you, I had obstacle after obstacle after obstacle to overcome, and I just don't understand why planners don't help you and say, this is what you need to do, and this is how you do it, and let us help you. But it doesn't work that way. And so we'll get it done. It just means that it's going to delay me, but I'm the type of fellow, I just won't quit. And it'll happen, but you got to go through planning committees, and they got to sign off and pass this resolution and that resolution. That's the way anything in the government works. But, you know, I already know what it looks like. I already see the building. I know what it's supposed to be. I just got to be patient. So the Lord is still working on me, and so I'll be developing some fruit during this process. First of all, point number one, the identity of the product is in the vine and not in the branch. The identity of the product is in the vine. A pear tree will never produce that apple. A banana tree will never produce that apple. The identity of the product is in the vine. This is not going to be something where you're running and shouting and dancing. This is stuff that will help you in your daily walk. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. So we produce good fruit simply because we are in Christ. Amen. Every branch in me bringeth forth fruit. That's what Jesus said. Now look at Matthew 7:17. Jesus said, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So the source or the identity of the fruit is in the vine or in the tree. It is not in the branch. The only reason you and I can produce these fruit because we stay connected to the true vine. He says, I and thou and me, that they may be one in us. So we're one. We have a oneness with Christ. And the source of the divine nature is in us. We have God's divine nature. We have been made partakers, Peter said, of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So Every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, it brings forth evil fruit. So whatever we are by the power of God's anointing. We are by the power of God's amazing grace. The only good thing in us is Jesus. There's nothing else in us that is good. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's how corrupt man's heart is in his natural state. But thank God we've been born again. Pastor Ricky did a great job on that sermon Sunday night, the mystery of the new birth. And the only good thing in us is because we have been made partakers of God's divine nature and we have been born again of God's Spirit. So the identity of the product is in the vine. It is not in the branch. Secondly, the quality of the product is also in the vine. It's not in the branch. The quality of the product, it is not in the branch. It is in the vine. Some people, they get used by God and they get a great big head. The Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. What do you have that you didn't receive from God? And so when you see everything in the light of God's word, you know, all of a sudden you begin to realize, I am what I am by the grace of God. So the quality of the product is in the vine, and a healthy plant, it produces superior fruit. Jesus produces quality fruit. Look at Matthew 17:7-18. A good tree cannot bear or bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So the only good thing in any of us is Jesus. That's the only reason we can produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the only reason. Because we're connected to the true vine. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot produce bad fruit. But pagan religion can produce all kinds of bad stuff. Stuff of the flesh. Amen. Now, the mass media, they have distorted Christianity. Sometimes the name Christian is associated with a society and not with a person. I'm a Christian. I had a man who used to work with me. He said, I'm a Christian. And he told me what religion he was. It has nothing to do with the Catholic. He said, I'm a Catholic, and that makes me a Christian. I said, no, that doesn't make you a Christian. I said, you can't talk like you talk and be a Christian. I said, you can't fuss and cuss and show those types of the works of the flesh and be a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian. And I finally one day I told him, I just preached him a little short sermon. He said, that's what I hate about you Christians, right there. In other words, the true colors came out once I started telling him about character and living that life that Christ produces in us. He's still my good friend. I still love him, you know, but he still hasn't seen the light yet. But maybe he saw some in my life. I hope so. Hallelujah. When you want somebody to see the light in your life, amen. So you can ask certain people, are you a Christian? They say, yes, I'm a Christian. I belong to the Methodist Church. I belong to the Catholic Church. I belong to the Christian Church. And some people even say, I belong to the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Certainly, I'm a Christian. But the question is, do you belong to Jesus? That's it. Are you born again? Are you connected to the true vine? Have you encountered Christ? Do you know the mystery? You don't have to know the mystery of it. You just have to know, hey, I was born again. I had a change in my life. And that's what Jesus does. He changes us. Do you know the Savior? That's the important thing right there that saves you from hell. Do you know Jesus Christ? And if you don't, then you're on the wrong road. See, we're talking about a good tree and abiding in Jesus Christ. And he cannot bring forth bad fruit. If you are in Jesus, you do not produce bad fruit. Look at Matthew 7:18 again. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, some people, they get confused about this. But I've even had people ask me, can the devil heal? I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not the devil's nature to heal. Amen. The devil is a destroyer. He is a killer. Put John 10:10 up there, Brother Blue. See, the devil is a thief. And nowhere in the Word of God can you show me where the devil has ever produced anything good. It's not his nature. You want to know his nature? John 10:10 tells us about his nature. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's producing the good fruit that God wants us to produce. And this is a growth process where you grow in grace and knowledge. Just like, here's my son-in-law right here on the front row, Dr. Nathan Joyner. And he got saved 2015, November 4th, 2015. And he started, you know, coming to church on Sunday morning. And next thing you know, Sunday night, and then revival when he could get here. Here he is on Wednesday night, you know, learning about the fruit of the Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge. But when you get connected, there comes a hunger and a thirst to go on with God. And Jesus said, they that hung and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So can the devil heal? No, he's a destroyer. The Bible tells us that. Put that back up there, because I want you to understand his nature. You know, he comes to do three things. So don't get mixed up by people saying, I'll never forget the occasion when this little girl, a friend of ours, she had warts on her body, and she went somewhere over in Elm City, and they talked those warts off of her body. They disappeared. But they wouldn't let anybody know what was done. My daughter had warts. She said, Daddy, can I go? Can I go and let them talk them off my body? I said, no. I said, I don't know what kind of hocus pocus that man used, but if he can talk them off using what he did, I can talk them off in the name of Jesus. I prayed for that child, and they didn't disappear, but she was out in school in Idaho. I'd call, I said, those warts gone yet? No, Daddy, they're not gone. I said, yes, they are. I cursed them. They're gone in Jesus' name. I'd call her back. Those warts gone yet? No, Daddy, they're not gone. They're still there. I said, no, they aren't. I cursed them in Jesus' name. They have to disappear. And I just forgot all about it. One day she called me. She said, guess what, Daddy? I said, what? She said, Daddy, those warts are gone. I said, well, I never doubted whether those warts were gone or not. You're the one that doubted. I just knew in my spirit that if any man could operate in some kind of hocus-pocus stuff and they would go away, that I could operate in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus would bring forth that healing. And it did. Hallelujah. So, you know, that as I said, there are three sources. There's God, there's man, and there's the devil. And so you're dealing in a dimension called spirit. And you better be connected to the right spirit. Because if you want the things of God, I'm leaving here. I will not be here Friday night for our prayer meeting. There's a man way down. I got to ride about 2 hours and 15 minutes. He wants me to come and pray over that church to drive the spirits, help him drive the spirits out of that church that are there. So y'all going to be praying for me while I'm on my way and while I'm down there praying over that church. But see, people don't understand this world that we're living in, because it's not just all you see. There's a spirit world right beyond the dimension of the eyes. If you don't believe that, when Elisha was, the Syrian army was all around them, and they sent them, and Gehazi, his servant, he went out, and he saw all of those people, all of the armies lined up, and he goes back in, and he says, Elisha said, look out there. He said, to open his eyes, God, and let him see. He said, those that are for us are so much more than those. Hallelujah. So there are more angels for you than there are demon spirits that have fallen. That a third of the angels fail. Two-thirds of them are still there. And they are flames of fire, ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the hours of salvation. And so we're talking about a world beyond the natural world, but we're in this natural world. Jesus said, Father, I don't pray that you'll take them out of the world, but you'll keep them from the evil. And then Paul comes along and says, this is what you need to develop. This is what Jesus was talking about. You're connected to the true vine. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You need to develop these so you can have that Christ-like life. So not only is the source in the tree, the source of the fruit, not only is the quality of the fruit in the tree, but thirdly, that is a sameness of the branch and the tree. That is a sameness, the same quality. Hallelujah. That is a sameness. Just like that apple tree, if produced the apple, okay, if we had the same sap in us and the same thing in that seed, guess what? We'd produce apples. So we got the sap of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the sap which is in us is the Holy Ghost that flows in the vine, which is Jesus. And he flows in us who are the branches. So there's a sameness of the quality. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. He said it in John 15:7. Put John 15:7 up. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. So there's a sameness. Jesus said, even the miracles that I did, you're to do. You're to understand things because I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Well, I prayed and it hasn't happened. Keep praying. I called a man today. I said, have you read those healing scriptures I sent to you? He said, every day. I said, read them about 3 or 4 times a day. I said, I read them and I read them and I read them. Then I read them and I read them and I read them. I'd walk that walking track and I'd read them and I'd read them and I'd read them. Then I'd read them and I'd read them and I'd read them. I said, I read them so much. I said them so much. I said, say them out loud and let your brain hear it. And let them drop down in your spirit. Just keep saying what God's word says. I said, keep doing that. I said, and you'll be healed. You'll walk right into it. I said, I told the devil, I know you're tired of hearing these scriptures, devil. I'm tired of hearing them. But I'm going to wear you out with the word of God. I'm just going to keep speaking them till I get my healing. Hallelujah. And that's the way the word, if your words carry power, and we know they do, how much more power does God's word carry? I've given this illustration. You go home, you worked all day, and your wife has kids, and you're trying to rear your family, and you get home, she hasn't cooked a supper, and the kids, they screaming and yelling, and she's about to pull her hair out, and you walk in the back door, and you say, what in the world have you been doing all day? I've worked all day, and I'm ready to eat, and there's no supper on the table. Well, you just messed up everything for the whole evening. But if you walk in that same house and say, sweetheart, I see you've had a hard time today. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I see it. You've had a rough day. I love you, darling. I love these kids. I tell you what, let's do. I love my home. Let's go out and let's have a date tonight. Boy, I'm going to be on the love boat for the rest of the night. I'm telling you. Now, if your words carry that kind of power, how much more power does God's word carry? God's word is living. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It might be Hebrews 4:12. See if it is. Hebrews 4:12. I might have missed it. But I'm in the ballpark. Hallelujah. The word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder of the soul and spirit. That's your mind. And your spirit. It goes right down, splits the mental part of man, the soul of man, the mind, the will, and emotions from the spirit of man. And then all of a sudden, the word of God drops down in there. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It goes right down into the joints and the marrow. That's that the marrow. Man, if they put new marrow in you, hallelujah, medical science can get you healed a lot of times of all kind of stuff. Just getting the life substance of the marrow. Well, that's what the word of God does. It goes right down, you know, dividing the son of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. People say, How did you know I was doing that? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. You preached to me this morning. You preached right where I was living this morning. I said, I don't know a thing about what you, how you're living. It's just the word of God, and it's living, and it's powerful. And that's what we need, is the anointing of God. But there's a same life that is in the tree, which is Jesus, that flows in us, and then it flows through us. The sameness of the flow of life in the Son is the same life that flows in you and me. Spiritual life, resurrection life, eternal life, divine life. Hallelujah. How many of you want more of it? I do. Amen. I told the Lord, I said, I don't have anybody I can go to and learn these deep subject matters from, Lord. They're all gone. And God said, go back and study Lester. Lester Sumrall. He's 29 sermons out there on divine healing. Human illness and divine healing. And yesterday I heard him talking about life force, getting new life force. God can put more life force in you. And I said, I wonder where I got that term from, Teresa, life force. She said, well, I knew you got it from Lester. But see, I studied the man and studied what him so much that he talks about, you know, when he was dying at 17 years of age, he had no life force. The doctor came in and signed his birth certificate. A death certificate, and said, he'll be dead in 2 hours, and turned and walked out. He said, I'll come by in the morning and take care of the arrangements. Walked out the room, and everybody left, and God showed Lester a vision of an open casket and an open Bible. He said, you choose what you want to do. You can live for me, or you and preach my word, or you can do what you want to do. And that casket's where you'll be. He said, God, I choose to live. And he woke up the next morning, went to sleep. Woke up the next morning, said, Mother, I'm hungry. And got up and started on his journey around the world, preaching 114 to 15 nations of the world. And God used him mightily. In 1996, he went home to be with the Lord. But the same life that is in Christ, that same fruit, it is in the branches. So that is a sameness. See, the life that is in the branch is derived from the life that's in the vine. Jesus said, I and thou and me, Father, that they may be one in us. You need to see your oneness with Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's a oneness, a connection. And once you learn that, then all of a sudden your faith begins to rise. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because the same sap that's in Christ is inside of me. The same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells in me. He quickens my body. He puts new life force in me. He teaches me. He leads me. He guides me. There's a sameness. Hallelujah. I'm one with God. I'm one with the Father. One with the Son, one with the Holy Ghost. I've been made a partaker of God's divine nature. Woo! Boy, if that doesn't make your faith rise, I don't know what will. I said, you won't be running and shouting. And one man said, hanging from the chandeliers. We don't have any chandeliers. I took them all out. I put these can lights in here. Amen. Look at John 17:23. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou loved me. How much does the Father love you? Well, how much did he love his Son? He loves us just like he loved the Son. Matter of fact, Romans 8:32, put that up if you would. Romans 8:32 is almost, why would God give heaven's best? He spared not his own Son. He gave heaven's best to redeem you and me. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When you're asking God for something and you find it in his word, just keep on asking. Say, I'm connected and I'm expecting it because I got the same faith that Jesus has. Put Galatians 2:20. I'll show you what kind of faith you got. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And look at this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this earthly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Whose faith do you have? You got Jesus' faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's your connection. That's your source of strength and your source of energy. The fruit that Jesus produces in his branch is proof that he is the Messiah, that he is the living God. There is no religion on earth that can take a harlot and in 10 seconds change her, cleanse her, purify her, and make her holy. But Jesus Christ, he can change a person instantly and make them all over again. Hallelujah. He can take a man that beats his wife, who is a drunkard, and instantly make a gentleman out of him. There is no life in paganism or humanism that can make you an overcomer. The uniqueness of Christianity and Christ is that whosoever is connected to that vine, when Jesus touches you, Jesus changes you. Hallelujah. I said when Jesus touches you, Jesus changes you. That's what it means to be a Christian. I'm one of them. How about you? Aren't you glad to be a Christian? Hallelujah. Look at John 15:4. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, I had this in my sermon Sunday, and it was such a powerful statement when I penned it. I wrote it down again. When God redeemed you, you were God's gift back to you. Now think about that. When God redeemed you by the blood of Jesus, you were on your way to hell. Every one of us. When God redeemed you, you were God's gift back to you. Now, whatever you do with your life and how you serve God, that will be your gift back to God. You are God's gift to you. How you serve God, how you live, what you develop in your life as a Christian, how you serve God, how you serve your fellow man, that will be your gift back to God. That's powerful. I want to please him. I want to, when my body's tired, I want to please him so much. I take those Royal Rangers. Brother Philip camped out. I couldn't go for the camp, but I came. I came to let him know. I appreciate you. I appreciate these boys. I appreciate the life God has given them. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to let everybody in the North Carolina Conference that's at that place, they're going to know that Pastor Jerry Nelson supports Royal Rangers and that I support what they're doing and I support that ministry. It may not get the recognition that it needs from the top on down, but I promise you one thing, it's going to get the recognition. And I could have done something more with my time. I promise you that. But I said, I'm going. And I did it to make a difference in those young boys' lives and to encourage everybody that's involved in Royal Ranger ministry. See, just your presence sometimes because of your connection to the true vine, your connection is all it takes. So abide in Jesus and let him abide in you. Lastly, to produce fruit, we must have a source of water and we must have a source of light. Every tree that's going to bear, you must have water and you must have light. Look at this right here. The Bible tells us that Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. Look, why did he do that? Look at Ephesians 5:26. That he might cleanse it. You've been getting clean, cleansed tonight. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's what this book will do for you. It'll help you develop the right fruit. It'll help me. Because I'm still working. God's still working on me. I wish I could tell you I have arrived, but I told you earlier, I was very, very honest with you. The greatest struggle I have in life is not those 17 works of the flesh. It's developing this fruit that I know that I'm to bear because I'm connected to Jesus. And you young people that have just come in, I know this might, you know, just be an end of it. These fruit, put the Galatians 5, 22 and 23 up there. And make sure all these young people get one of those handouts. I want you to just take it and say, what am I supposed to produce as a Christian? What is my life to look like? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And then on the backside of this handout you're going to get, there are going to be some works of the flesh. And I promise you, as long as you're on this planet, young people, older people too, as long as you're on this planet, you will have to deal with you. And that's why this deeper walk that I'm talking about on Sunday morning is so important. That after nothing is ever born clean. Once you're born again, see, the new birth gives you life. Sanctification brings death. It does. It kills the old man. That's the cleansing part, the negative part of it. But then we're made holy unto God so we can produce this good fruit and so we can have happy homes and so we can be an example of Christ. Look at John 8:38 and 12. Everything to produce fruit, it needs light and it needs water. Jesus spake, so he's the water, washes us in the water. He's the water of life. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we have this fruit that we're to bear, Pastor Ricky, by abiding in Christ Jesus. That's just an introduction, a very exciting series. It will help you. I'm not trying to preach. I'm just trying to teach and tell you some things I've learned in life and some things that have been very meaningful in my own life. And at the end of my journey, I want my children and the people that I've known to say he lived what he said. He lived the life that he preached. And his life was a light. And that's what I want for everybody here, that your life was a life that bore fruit because you were connected to the true vine and you produced the type of fruit that you were to produce. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
I surrender all. I surrender.
Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me to be more like you. I'm